My area of research is designed for sustainability, and I've come to understand what sustainability means over the years in greater depth as I've studied it. I started looking mainly at the environmental, the ecological aspects of sustainability, and then as our understandings of sustainability have developed over the years, they've started to include things like social equity and justice. And a lot of the design associations, international design associations, claim that design can improve the situation for businesses, for people, improve our current condition in some way. Whereas when I look around the world and I see many of the repercussions of design, they're not really improving the world. We're creating more and more things that we throw away, and we use more and more energy, more and more resources to create those things. We create more and more waste. Our oceans are full of plastics. Air is full of particulates and pollution. And this is all the result of this growth-based production system, which is based on materialism. And so it's hard to reconcile these claims of improvement, which is what design claims it does, with what we see around the world today. And so that made me try to understand why that was the case and what kind of values and motivations are pushing people to produce all this stuff, to buy all this stuff, because we're all part of that system of consumption.
You talked a lot about consumerism yesterday. In some ways, it's so overarching, the consumerist principle, that it's almost overwhelming. And yet design people, if they design something, depending on what it is they're designing, obviously, but it usually is for somebody to consume it.
Yes, of course. Well, the whole raison d'etre, if you like, of our society is based on the idea of individual consumption. That's what drives our economy. So when people are going back into the shops, maybe after a recession or after a quiet period, and people go back into the shops and they start buying things again, our newspapers and our news media report that as a very positive thing, a very good thing, because the economy is booming. And in many ways, you could say it is a good thing because it helps create jobs. It also creates wealth. I mean, there are questions about whether that wealth actually gets distributed properly, but in principle it creates wealth. It's not necessarily equitable, but it does help create wealth. But there's a huge cost to that. There's a cost to the environment, yes, but there's also a cost to people because it puts people's priorities on materialistic goods and looking for happiness through the consumption of material goods, or the consumption of more experiences like, more luxurious holidays or so on and so forth. But in the end, people realize that actually you don't find happiness in those external benefits, in those external rewards. It's something that you have to look for internally within yourself through relationships with other people. They are the wisdom teachers over the ages which have come down to us through religion, through spirituality, through philosophy, that it's our relationships with others which lead to true happiness, which contradicts all the messages of advertising and marketing and consumption. And so if we want to progress our ideas of sustainability and design for sustainability, we have to take those into consideration and find different ways of creating an economy which is not based on consumption, which is not based on continual buying of more materialistic goods and not looking for external rewards, but looking at a more healthy economy, a more moderate economy that isn't based on so much growth and using up the planet, because we're looking at the Earth as a kind of in a utilitarian way to provide resources to make money, basically. And we should be looking at it in terms, it's our home and we have to look after it and care for it and we have to care for each other. And when we do that, that can lead to true happiness. So it really kind of puts a big question mark over our complete economic system and what that means for design and for the future. It's looking at perhaps, I'm not sure how we do this at the moment, but designing less, designing in ways which enable people to foster better relationships with each other, to design, to appreciate what we have in terms of the natural earth, but not necessarily consuming material goods all the time.
And you gave a few examples toward the end of things that were designed with principles of real sustainability, reuse, recycling in mind. Can you just describe some of them for us?
Yes, as part of my own research, I do propositional design, exploratory design, where I use natural and processed materials in combination with mass-produced components, which can be separated out at the end of the day so that the natural materials can be returned to the natural environment without any ill effect, and where the mass-produced components can be reused in other applications. But there are many other aspects, positive aspects, many of them being progressed by young people these days, looking at alternative ways of living which are reducing consumption. So there are things like repair workshops, tool lending libraries. We've had book lending libraries for a long time, but lending libraries which lend tools and recreational goods, the sorts of things you use very occasionally, but you would like to use occasionally, but you don't necessarily want to buy, or you don't necessarily have the room to store in your house. Things like camping equipment, or a kayak for the weekend, or various tools that you might use very occasionally.
That's in Canada, is it?
There was an example in Canada, but I think there are other examples in other parts of the world. There's a new shopping mall in Sweden opened up where everything is repaired, refurbished, and they're all reused goods. It's extending the life of goods, giving other people the benefit of goods which other people maybe have no more use for. And it's still contributing to the economy, but it's reducing the amount of material consumption. And that's the way we have to move in, I think. Because otherwise, we can't keep going at this rate, because it's destroying the planet.
And it reminds me, when the recession happened, I remember hearing an interview with a scientist who said that we have produced so many goods that even if a new planet were discovered in the morning, we still are oversubscribed with what we have.
Yes.
And the goods that we've produced.
Yes.
And, you know, that sense of even now things that have the built-in obsolescence, like they're supposed to wear out, so we'll buy another one. Tell me about your own designs that you put up at the end, because you had a beautiful lamp. I loved that, and a few other things.
Well, the lamp design was a floor lamp consisting of a raw piece of stone to which was tied to it a piece of bamboo straight from the tree, and hanging over that was some off-the-shelf mass-produced electrical bits and pieces, like a light bulb and a socket and a switch and a cable, which you could buy in any hardware store, and they were simply draped over the natural components. So at the end of the day, they can just be simply separated. The natural materials can be returned to the natural environment, and the other components can be reused in another application. But then later on in the presentation, I gave some examples of other objects which were not functional goods, but they were kind of arguments in image, if you like. So there was one about bottled water, which the labels were about environmental disasters. And the idea there was to try and convey a message about sustainability and a message about the way we think about water today. The history of water in our modern times is a history of contamination and, through bottling it, commodification. So we've commodified an essential resource for life, and we've also contaminated it. And so the idea of putting an image about that up, it's another way of communicating. Because when we communicate in words, we communicate to the left-hand side of the brain, the rational, the logical. When we communicate through image, we communicate much more intuitively and much more immediately and emotionally. And I think we have to bring that side of it in to our sensibility if we're going to convey this message and the urgency about sustainability today. And there's a fundamentally spiritually important element to that, because we have to look inwards into the heart. Not just think with the head, but also feel with the heart about where this system that we've got, this economic system of consumerism, is taking us, and realizing that it's actually not making us any happier, that happiness is to be found in other places.
Now, as an academic, are you out on a limb, do you feel? Or would you be able to say to your colleagues in the academy, I'm off to give a talk on spirituality and design, and how would they look at you?
Well, to some extent, but I think there's a growing awareness of it, and certainly we've been doing some research in Cumbria, just north of Lancaster University, with small enterprises, small craft makers and small enterprises, asking them about their motivations. We didn't talk about spirituality explicitly, but when we talked to them about why they did what they did, very few of them said we're in it for the money. many more of them said, we do it because we want to continue a tradition or contribute to the community, give back to the community, make a commitment to place. And because this place has given us so much, we want to try and give back to it. Create local employment, create a little local wealth. So their motivations, the reasons for doing what they were doing, because they loved the place they were living in and they felt they wanted to give something back. One company gives a certain percentage of their annual profits back to support local farmers. And that wasn't so unusual among the people we talked to. We talked to a group of women who started a cooperative where a mine had closed, and they had started a small art centre and a small enterprise producing goods in a cooperative manner to create profits to put back into the community, try to stimulate some new growth there, some reason to go on when this employer had closed in the town. So there's a lot of thinking about other people, commitment to place and giving back, and those kinds of motivations which are tied to spiritual teachings, which might not be expressed in that way, but nevertheless, it's innate to a lot of people.